When I was a young preacher, was just getting started, Brother Curry, I used to feel like that we had to milk every last ounce of spirit out of the worship that we could possibly squeeze out of it. And then I found that whenever I would do that and I'd get up to preach, everybody was exhausted, and it made preaching a lot harder. So I got selfish, and I said, I'm going to leave a little something so that when I'm preaching, especially if I know beyond shadow of a doubt that I've heard from God. And I feel that way today. Brother Avery, you can take your place over here. Grab you if you already got a chair over there. If you've got a scripture reading there, I'm going to read the first two passages. And the first one says in the book of Luke, the 20th chapter. Oh, Sister Chris. No, you don't need one. Sister Chris, all the children that 12 and under, she's going to have Sunday school, 12 and under. All the little ones, amen. Hallelujah. You know what? Isn't this great? Oh, my God, this is great. I have always had a favorite saying that the one thing that is worse than a church full of crying, screaming, fussy, fighting, children, snotty nose, dirty diaper children is a church with no screaming, crying, dirty diaper, snotty nose, fighting children. That's right. Thank God for children. Praise the Lord. The book of Luke, the 20th chapter, says in verse 17, and he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the prophet Jeremiah said, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Amen. I've done a lot of preaching here lately, the last couple of months, as we have been in fasting and prayer, a lot of preaching on breaking, sifting, God getting us to where He wants us to be. But this week, in particular, Wednesday night during our Bible study, the Lord spoke to me about talking to you about not just brokenness, but about a place beyond brokenness. Amen. And that is what I want us to focus on today. Amen. Can you say amen? Brother Avery, he's got a little mint there that's going to represent us. Go ahead and give it a whack to get us started. He's going to break that thing up. There we go. Hallelujah. He's going to assist me today. And so everybody say, God bless Brother Avery. Hallelujah. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings on His word right now. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for what we feel in this place. We pray, Lord, for you to help us, help our understanding. Lord, our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to understand. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody say amen. Turn around and shake hands with somebody else as you're seated. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you understand that every stumbling block in your life is just one more rock that has to be broken down? Does everybody understand that? There are things in your life, our scripture text said that my word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Every stone of rebellion Everybody say amen. Every stone of sin, every stone of worldliness, the word is a hammer that crushes these stones. The word, if we allow it to do so. The purpose of the hammer is to break us so that we can be molded again the way he wants us to be. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing." Everybody say every. "Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought." Everybody say every thought. "To the obedience of Christ." In other words, as long as there is one thought left that is not in submission, as long as there is one high thing that exalts itself to the knowledge of God or against the knowledge of God, as long as there is one stronghold in your life, there will be a need for the word, the hammer, to come down. There'll be a need and a place for the hammer to strike. Brother Avery, give it another rap for me. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Judges, the 13th chapter, and I'm going to talk a good bit about this because this is really where this is going today. But in the book of Judges, the 13th chapter, you don't have to turn there, but as the chapter opens up, the children of Israel have been oppressed by the Philistines for a period of 40 years. And the Lord decides that he is going to raise up a deliverer. I like the fact that out of all of the couples that God could have chosen, it tells us a little bit about the nature of God that he picked a barren couple. He chose a couple, Manoah and his wife, that could not bear children. And so Manoah and his wife receive a visit from an angel of the Lord. And the angel says, "You're going to bear a son. And you're going to have to dedicate yourself to the Lord even before your son is born. You're not going to be allowed to drink any kind of alcoholic beverages. You're not going to eat any kind of unclean food. Because God says that this unborn child already has a calling on his life, even while he is still in the womb. He's dedicated from birth and even before birth." So the Lord tells Manoah and his wife that your child is going to be a lifelong Nazarite. He will not cut his hair, nor will he drink strong drink, nor will he come near a dead body. Because when he reaches adulthood, he has a calling on his life. And that calling, the Lord says, is he will begin the process of delivering my people out of the hands of the Philistines. There is nothing in this promise that the angel gave to Manoah and his wife that said that Samson was going to be perfect. There was nothing in that promise that said that he would not make mistakes. There was nothing in that promise that said that he would live a charmed life. As a matter of fact, there was nothing in that promise that declared that Samson would not be a jerk. And at times he was. There was nothing in that promise that said that Samson will not be a little punk, as we might say, at this time. The only promise that the angel made was he will be called from the moment he is conceived, and he will begin to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. These two promises were irrevocable, and there was absolutely nothing that Samson could do that could change his calling. Amen. It didn't matter what kind of a jerk he was. It didn't matter what kind of a punk he was. He still had this call on his life. Says the angel never promised that Samson would be perfect. The possibility was left open that Samson would struggle at times. The angel didn't even say that he would be good. And he did struggle. The angel left open the possibility that Samson would have to be disciplined, that he would have to be chastised. We see a little bit of a spoiled brat in Samson. No doubt I imagine today that his mother and his father were overly protective of him because he had an extraordinary calling and there were extraordinary circumstances in his life. So I see a little young man that was a little out of control at times. I see a young man that was a wild man at times. I see a young man that knew that he was spoiled at times. And his parents would not let down the hammer because they knew that they, unlike many others, had been visited by an angel. And an angel had said that this young man will be called and he will deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. One of his first recorded acts to show you how spoiled he was and how rebellious he was. One of his first acts was to demand a Philistine for his wife. What could be more rebellious than to want to marry the enemy? Amen. He wanted to marry somebody that he knew would upset his mother and his father. But his rebellion did not change the fact that he was still called to be the deliverer. Hallelujah. He was pompous at times. He was arrogant at times. He was brash at times. He was carnal at times. But none of that changed the fact that he was the deliverer. Amen. None of that changed his calling. He had a calling on his life, and there was nothing that he or anybody else could do to stop it. And so you have what is the absolute certainty of Samson's call colliding with the natural rebellion and stubbornness of a teenager. Amen. But his rebellious and his wild ways, as he is sowing his wild oats, cannot change the call on his life. What does it mean? His rebellion only means that he's going to have to be broken. Because God said, listen here, son, you can date Philistines all you want to. You can be wild all you want to. But one of these days you will begin to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. And so if I have to break you, I will. But one day you will do what I have called you to do. Give it another whack with the hammer, Avery. A couple more. And so his breaking process grows. And even as a young man sowing his wild oats, we start to see glimpses of what he can be and what he will be. One of my favorite passages is Judges 13 that says, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zor and Eshtol. What I'm saying to us today, some of our young people are going through a phase. Some of them are spreading their wings a little bit. Some of them are sowing their wild oats a little bit. But I am still confident in their calling. How so? Because I have seen the Spirit of the Lord begin to move them at times. And I know that God has got his hand on their life, and God is going to do something great through them. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord. The Bible says that soon Samson is attacked by a lion. But the Bible also said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and that he tore the lion as easily as he would a goat. He never told his parents about it. The Bible said he kept it from his mother and his father. How many of you understand the word says the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Amen. I like to believe today that soon, if it has not already happened, that some of our young people are going to be killing lions in their prayer closets.
I believe their parents may not even know about it. They may not even tell them about it. But yet they're fighting some lions and they're fighting some battles and they're going through some struggles. But they're going to come out on the other side. They're going to come out in victory. They're going to come out in glory. Hallelujah. They're going to come out victorious because God has got his hand on their lives. Oh, hallelujah.
I think it's ironic that at one point Samson's own brothers turned against him. Did you know that? After he had killed a number of the Philistines, his cowardly brothers from the tribe of Judah, 3,000 of them came up. He said, "What do you want?" They said, "You're making trouble. Don't you understand we're slaves to the Philistines? And all this trouble you're making, they're going to take it out on us. So what we came up to do," it's funny, they thought they had to bring 3,000. They did. They brought 3,000 men. And they said, "We're here to bind you and take you down to the Philistines." And you know what Samson said? He said, "Make me one promise." What's that? "Promise me that you won't attack me yourself. I'll let you tie me up if you'll just make me that promise." And the Bible says that they promised him that they would not attack him. They tied him up. They brought him to the Philistines. But the word says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he snapped the ropes like they were grass. And he looked around and said, "I need something to fight with." And when he looked around, all he found was a jawbone of a donkey. And the Bible said that he picked it up and he went to war. Amen. And with just the jawbone of a donkey, he killed 1,000 Philistines. Why? Because nothing that he did could detract or take away from the fact that he was called of God and he was called to be a deliverer. Hallelujah. Then the next phase of Samson's life is the Bible said he judged Israel for 20 years. Mission accomplished. He became what he was called to be. He had delivered them. I love this. I never noticed. I love how I get new stuff out of the word every time I read it. As many times I've read it. Do you know that the Philistines had a nickname for him? I love this. Straight out of something out of Marvel Comics. They called him the Destroyer. You gotta love that. He was the Destroyer. And at this point, listen, Samson had fulfilled his calling. The prophecy was done. But he had never really been broken. He was still a wild child. Because the next thing we read about is Samson is cavorting with a prostitute. Amen. Finally, we come to a story that everybody knows about. Delilah. Every Sunday school kid knows how she tricked him into telling the secret of his strength. And somebody said, "Well, why would God allow his strength to go if he was the deliverer?" Because the promise had already been fulfilled. God at this point technically owed him nothing. Understand that. He owed him nothing. And he could see that Samson was way too cocky for his own good. And so God is perfectly within his rights at this point to walk away. I don't believe that Samson lost his strength. Now, I'm not going to split hairs with anybody, pardon the pun. But I don't believe that Samson lost his strength because his hair was cut. The hair was just a symbol of his relationship with God. He lost his strength because he got arrogant. And he didn't care anymore about his calling and about the hand of God on his life. He lost his strength because he took the presence of the Lord for granted. And God had enough. And God said, "No more." And so God allowed his strength to go from him. And so finally the Philistines capture him. And he lost his strength. Hit that thing a few more times, Avery. Hit it good. Keep going. The Philistines broke him. You can go ahead and tear it out. Open up that plastic for me and put it out there on the table. Hallelujah. Ain't he doing such a good job? Hit it a few more times for me, son. And so the Philistines, listen to me, folks, I'm headed somewhere with all this. They broke him in the worst way imaginable. The Bible says that they put his eyes out. And when Samson came to, he found himself in a prison house. And they were using him without his great strength to grind meal in a prison house. He was a slave in chains. The Bible said they bound him in fetters of brass. And so he's going around and around in circles. Eyes are gone. Bound in chains. They put him to work night and day, grinding meal in a prison house. And then one day, they called for him. They had a great arena, and they said, bring out Samson so that we can make fun of and mock the deliverer. Bring out Samson so that we can mock the destroyer. And so now he's feeble. His strength is gone. The Bible said, though, that while he was in the prison house, that his hair began to grow again after he was shaven. And I don't believe for one minute, again, I don't believe that it was the hair. But I believe that what it was is every day that hair got a little bit longer, it reminded him of where he had been. And it reminded him of the relationship that he had had with God. And it reminded him of his calling. And it reminded him of the promises that God had placed upon his life. And every day I could just see Samson pushing that wheel around in the mill house, in the prison house. And every day he's just like the song said, he's having a little talk with Jesus. Amen. And every day he's grinding and he's saying, Lord, I know that I have let you down. I know that I'm not what I ought to be. I know that I'm not where I should be. But Lord, I want to be brought back to that place. I want you to restore me once again. Amen. And so they mocked the destroyer. But how many of you understand today that there is a place beyond brokenness? There's a place you can reach where there's nothing left to break. Amen. Hammer it a few more times for me, Avery. Amen. Keep going. Just keep going. Hammer it good. Samson had been hammered. He had been broken. But you know, after a while, as Avery sits here, as he's beating on this, pretty soon he finds that there are no more big pieces to break. Pretty soon he finds that there's nothing left but the powder that Jesus talked about being ground into. Pretty soon he finds that there's no more stones of rebellion. There's no more stones of sin. There's no more stones of carnality. There's no more stones of worldliness. And what Samson found as he was grinding in that mill is that God was taking away every stone of rebellion, every stone of sin, every stone of desire. And he lost it all. And he had one focus and one purpose. And that purpose was to be back in the presence of God again. There's a place you can reach where there's nothing left to break. There's a place in God where every stone, every stumbling block in your life has been crushed by the hammer. One of the things that brought me to this is this week, somebody told me something. Somebody said that was intended to be hurtful. And Sister Amanda was sharing it with me. I don't remember what it was. Because there was a point, Brother David, where I would have been crushed by it. But I found, Brother Curry, didn't matter at all. I laughed about it. I told her, I said, the one good thing about being crushed is there ain't nothing left to break. When you reach that place beyond brokenness, where you have been ground down by the milcher into power,
louder. Let the hammer come down. Let the haters talk. Let the naysayers say whatever they want to say. I said they can't say nothing about me that hadn't already been said 100 times. Because when you've been ground to the point beyond brokenness, then God is situating you for great revival. And so let me tell you what happened. In that grinding mill, Samson reached that place. He reached a place where the Philistines could do nothing more to him. He reached a place where he was totally and completely crushed into power. There was no more rebellion. There were no more wild oats to sow. There was no more desire for the things of the world. He was dead to all of those things. In the grinding mill, there's nothing left but a man that has been crushed into power. There's a man that has no more ties to the world. Nothing left to hinder him. He has moved beyond brokenness. And as the Philistines mocked him, they made a grave error in judgment. Because a child of God is never more dangerous than when they have been crushed into powder. They are never more dangerous than when they can truly say and mean it from the bottom of their heart, not my will, but thine be done. There is nothing that I want but your power. There is nothing that I want but more of you, Lord. It's not just lyrics. It's not just a song anymore. When you can say more of you, more of you, I've had all. But what I need is more of you. When you reach the place in your life where all of the stones are gone and there's nothing left but powder, then you have reached a place where God can completely use you. Oh, hallelujah. Samson knows that the Lord owes him nothing. The prophecy had been fulfilled 20 years ago. He knows that God owes him nothing. But God cannot ignore a completely broken man. Psalm 51 said the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. And the Bible said in Judges 16 that Samson called unto the Lord and said, oh Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Only this one time, oh God, and a job that an unbroken man could not finish was finished by a man that had been crushed into powder. A job that an unbroken man could not do was completed by a man who had moved into that dimension beyond brokenness. Oh, would you love the Lord right now? I said a job that a healthy Samson couldn't do was done by a man without two eyes. A job that a healthy Samson couldn't do was done by a man bound in fetters of brass. A job that a healthy man could not do was completed by a man who had moved beyond brokenness. See, some of you have been attacked. Some of you have been crushed. Some of you have been ridiculed. Some of you have been abandoned and forsaken by friends and family. And every hurtful word has seemed like another blow from the hammer. Amen. Hit Avery. But all I see, all I see is powder. There's nothing left to break. There's nothing left to break when God takes you past that place. I'm telling you that there'll be nothing left to break in your life. Then God is going to use you. Somebody said, when will the breaking end? I'm here to preach to you today that there's a place on the other side. There's a place beyond brokenness. There's a place where there's nothing left for the hammer to destroy. There's a place that God wants to get you to. And when you get there, you'll find peace.
And when you get there, you're going to find revival like you have never seen in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, one thing I like about this, I picked that peppermint because the only thing I can see in that crushed powder are strains of red. Oh, hallelujah. That's what you're going to look like when there's nothing left but the blood of Jesus and your crushed soul and your crushed spirit. When that's all that's left, that's all they're going to be able to see are the streaks of red where Jesus has poured out his blood. Oh, hallelujah. Would you lift your hands with me? Oh, my God, my God, would you stand with me today?
I'm broken, my life is in pieces, but your strength is perfect.
Somebody's about to move beyond broken. Somebody's about to move to a place where the attacks no longer matter. Somebody's about to move to a place of peace that the enemy cannot take away. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's about to move to a new dimension. Somebody's about to move to a new anointing. Somebody's about to move to a new revelation. God's about to open up some doors. God's about to open up some windows. God's about to pour out some blessing. God's about to pour out his spirit. Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus, I'm calling you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come here, my friend. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I know I am broken, but you can heal me. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I am broken, but you can heal.
Hallelujah. Jesus, there's a fresh anointing on the horizon. The breaking is about to stop. Oh, there's a fresh beginning. There's a new anointing in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus,
I'm hallelujah. Is there anybody
Jesus,
else that's ready for that new anointing?
Jesus,
is there anybody else that's ready for that new refreshing? Why don't you come up and gather
Jesus,
around here right now in the name of Jesus. Just stretch your hands
I'm
out. Yeah, let's hear hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus, I'm calling you.
I'm calling you. I'm calling you.
Jesus, Jesus.
I'm calling you.
Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Lord, I am broken.
Come on, would you gather prayer? Come on, does anybody need prayer? Does anybody need a fresh anointing? The waters are being troubled right now. God's wanting to do something in somebody's life. Hallelujah, Lord, we speak healing to the body right now. I rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, let your anointing come down and touch his body in Jesus. Hallelujah, find somebody to pray with. Come on, there's a spirit. There's a move of God here right now.
Jesus, I'm calling you. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
I'm calling you.
Come on, find somebody to pray with.
I am broken.
Oh, don't waste
grace this moment.
You can
your grace this moment. God is doing something here today. God is doing something here today. Your grace this moment.
Your
grace this moment.
But I'm still willing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm calling you. Jesus,
Jesus. Oh, yes. Jesus,
Jesus.
I'm calling you. Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus,
I'm calling you. I might not be worth much, but I'm still willing. Jesus,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
I might not be worth much, but I'm still willing. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you. Jesus, Jesus, just call the name. Jesus, I'm calling you. Jesus, 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 I'm calling you. Jesus,
Jesus, yes, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus. I'm calling you, Lord. I am broken. My life is in pieces, but your strength is perfect in all of my weakness. Lord, I am broken. My life is in pieces, but your strength is perfect in all of my weakness. Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you. Jesus, Jesus. Is in pieces, but your strength is perfect in all of my weakness. Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, I'm calling you.
You know how you know? You know how you know when you've reached that place beyond brokenness? When you lose all desire to retaliate. When you lose all desire, as long as there's a pebble of revenge there, it has to be crushed. Jesus was broken in the Garden of Gethsemane. And body broken on the way up to Calvary. When he hung on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, I ain't interested in your drama. I ain't interested in your issues that you try to drag me into. I want to know about one thing. He said in another place, that I may know him. That's all I care about. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Why? Because he had been crushed into powder. And he had nothing left to break. Amen. And when you get to that place where those things matter. We used to sing a song. How did it go? What's that key? What key are you in right there? If you can't play it, don't worry about it. Mm-mm. Give me the key of E flat. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Sing it if you know it. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. In the light of his glory and grace. One more time, turn your eyes. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and hallelujah, love the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Amen. It's a beautiful place to be on the other side of broken, beyond brokenness. And you can get there. Amen. Amen.